again, my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus, Yahushua, HaMashiach, Lord, Savior, Ruler, Master of all, King of kings, Lord of lords, Prince of peace. Oh, yes, Prince of peace. In a world that has no peace, in a world that seeks for external solutions, you know, when the world talks about peace, what it's talking about is an external cessation of hostilities. They keep looking for that, they keep wanting that, they keep wanting something in the natural. The Prince of Peace, he offers the peace in the place that you and I and everyone needs it the most, which is peace within, to have stillness within the very core of your soul. No matter what's going on outside, no matter what's going on around you, you can have that in Christ Jesus. The world can never, ever, 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 ever give you that. And so that's why, even for the world, if they get a moment where, you know, they're not shooting at each other and fighting with each other and trying to steal from each other and all of that, if they have a moment of externally still inside, they're all chewed up. Still inside, they're angry and distraught and wanting to devour each other, and they're just waiting for that next opportunity to do so. Because without Christ, you have no peace. So the Prince of Peace, the royal lineage of peace, the place where it comes from, you don't get it from anywhere else. It's just the way it is. So, you know, it's just like God is love. You don't find love outside of Him. You know, the world, you know, the funny thing is, what I find funny with the world is that their language sucks. I mean, they have to use God's words to try to give themselves credibility. But when they talk about peace, they're talking about something else. When they talk about love, they're talking about something else. You know, for them, for the world, they wouldn't understand love if it came up and bit them. I'm going to try to use good language here. If it came up and bit them, like, they wouldn't understand love because they're not connected to the source of love. God is love, and as a result of God being love, those that are connected to Him and are in Christ Jesus, the love of God can now flow through you into the lives of others. And that's why when people see a true follower of Christ, that love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts, that love of God that pours through us, it impacts them. They're both drawn to it and at the same time repulsed and angered by it. Because at the same time that it draws them and it pulls on them, it also reveals their own lack, their own willful decision to go another way and to go a substandard way, to go a way that in the end really was a bad decision. And as time goes on right now and the way the world is going, it's going to become more and more and more apparent just how bad of a decision it was to go the way of the world. Oh, yes, that was a bad choice. Wish you could have that one back, don't you? Yeah, you can, actually. While you still have breath in your lungs, you know, turn. Turn and be saved. You know, the thief on the cross, it's possible. But, you know, along those lines too, you don't know when your last breath is coming. And if you miss that chance, if you miss that opportunity, you know, it's over. Now, the thing with the thief on the cross is that was a genuine repentance, a genuine heart turning. A genuine revelation of who Christ Jesus was, and as a result, you know, his spiritual direction changed. in that opportune time, in that moment, his spiritual direction changed. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, I knew some guys in college, I'm just thinking back to, where they're, you know, we would talk about Jesus sometimes and just life and the things that were important. And in that process, you know, I remember one of them, typical. He would say, well, you know, right now, I'm in college and, you know, I want to have some fun right now. And this is kind of what I want to do. And he said, what I'm going to do is when I get married and after I have a couple of kids, he said, then I'm going to find religion, was his words. Oh, yeah, you'll find religion, all right. There's plenty of religions that will be waiting there for you to harvest your soul for the remainder of your time once you have your mortgage and your kids and your expenses and all the rest of that. Yeah, they'll be waiting for you. They've got something for you. I think, just thinking about that guy's statement. So you're telling me that you would want to make some of the most crucial decisions in your life apart from connection with the Spirit of God. So you want to allow a life partner in and making that decision apart from seeking the Spirit of God. You want to begin raising a family, choose the work that you do. I mean, go down the list. Finish the school that you're doing. All of those. You know how in deep in bondage you get the further that you go on? You know, the further you go, every day that you go not in step with Christ is a day that you need to be healed from, is a day that you need to be restored from, is a day that you ultimately will regret, because it's a day of death. Every day apart from the Spirit of God is a day of death, because you're making decisions, you're making choices, you're doing things that are apart from the Spirit of God. And as a result, everything done outside of Him, it dies. It's no good. It doesn't work. Now, you know, God does have an amazing, miraculous way of, at times, you know, taking those things that have come before and doing a miracle with them, where, you know, those experiences and those things that He brings us out of and He heals us from, you know, where he's able to turn those and do something with those in spite of ourselves that, you know, accomplishes a greater purpose. But that said, you know, that's not, Paul wrote a little bit about that when he talked about, you know, if when people say if God's glorified, you know, by the negative things that they do, then, you know, why are they condemned? But basically saying, you know, they might as well say, why don't I just do all this kind of bad stuff that good things could result? And he said in that case, in that context, that their condemnation is more deserved. So, yeah, so, I mean, but people get into all kinds of crazy and twisted logic. Ultimately, because why? Because in their hearts they want darkness. In their hearts they choose evil over good, over righteousness. And if that's the spiritual direction that you've sought, if that's the spiritual direction that you've taken, you will result in the eternal ramifications of your choice. Whereas for those of you that have sought to walk with God, to walk with His Spirit, to allow Him to teach you, to allow Him to guide you, to allow Him to be everything in you, to be the source of your provision, your protection, your direction during your time in this world. For those of you that have sought Him and cultivated within yourself by your free will as well, you've chosen that. you've allowed the Spirit of God to make in you something incredibly beautiful that will be revealed in eternity. You know, everything that we go through here, it's not for naught. It's not for it's not in vain. Oh gosh, no, it's not in vain. Everything that we endure in this life has an eternal, lasting benefit to it. It really, really does. And for us, it's, you know, if you trust him and you go through this, he will carry you through. You know, you don't have to take it. You don't have to take it all at once. Don't worry about the much, much bigger things going on, so it would seem to you, by what's being fed to us by mainstream media and people going on around us and all of that stuff. Look, don't worry about that. Jesus said, take no thought. Don't be anxious. Take no thought for tomorrow, for sufficient for the day is, for today is the evil thereof. Basically, hey, don't worry about what's going on in the future. Just take this thing one day at a time. Take this life one day at a time, one moment at a time. And in each thing, whatever it is that's going on around you, look, just put it before him. He knows what he's doing. And when you take things that are concerning you, when you take the things that you're anxious about, and you put them at the feet of Christ, you allow now for his lordship in and through those situations. But as long as you try to own it, as long as you try to fix it, now you're the one that gets to do it. You know, kind of the way that I've gone about stuff is, if something is bugging me, if something is difficult for me, I take it before the Father in prayer. I'm like, Lord, this is what's going on. This is something that I'm in the middle of. And I seek His Spirit to direct me into what to do. And then as I put it before Him, and I allow for His Lordship and a clean slate, I don't come to God with a preconceived notion of, okay, here's what I want to do about this. Here's what I want out of this. Here's what I want. Here's my agenda. No, I don't start like that. I just look to him for his instructions. You know why? Because sometimes God will tell you to do something completely contrary to what your natural thinking may be around a situation and to what other people may advise you. But it'll be him. And if he does that, you have to be open to making that move. You have to be open to doing something that would seem counterintuitive. So, you know, but that's something that is cultivated as you walk with him. If you're not open to that, what ends up happening is you go down the traditional path. You go down the typical path. You go down the path that everybody else says and what everybody else is conformed to. Look, the way of Christ, the path of Jesus, is not the path that the majority take. It's very important to understand that. Because of that, then the further revelation of that is that because it's not the path of the majority, most people will not be able to give you the right advice if you ask them. Okay, scriptural proof. Fine, you want that. Some of you want that. Jesus said that the, speaking of the gate, you know, that the road to destruction is broad, well-traveled, and many there are that go that way, whereas the narrow is the gate that leads to life eternal, and few there are that find it. Basically, the majority goes one way, and the minority... God is always more about quality than quantity. So yeah. So for me, I don't lose sleep over the over all the masses that don't know Jesus. No, that's kind of above my pay grade, really. I mean, what I do is I seek to be what it is that God made me to be. I seek what it is that He made me to do, and let the rest be what it is. If He has for me to speak to somebody, sure. I'm happy to speak to them. If He has for me to witness, sure. If He has me to preach in front of crowds of hundreds of thousands and millions, sure, whatever. It doesn't matter. If that's what He's directing me to, if that's what He opens up the door for me to do, sure. But am I going to worry about the things going on? No. Am I going to worry about the sun's being a variable energy output star and the activities of the sun increasing and the different rays that are coming off there affecting the earth changes? No, I'm not going to worry about that. Why? Why am I going to worry about that? What I can do, all right, if I need to, I can ask the Lord about that a little bit. Say, God, is there something I need to do about it? Maybe I need to wear a little bit of sunblock. Maybe I need to be a little bit more informed. Okay, sure. But go on with it. Move on with it. You know, people live their lives like they're the only ones that have ever come through this life, that they're the only ones that have ever been in certain challenges or certain presses. Look, so many have come before. And, you know, if the Lord tarries, there's going to be others that come after. I don't know. I mean, I know that the time is short, you know, but then again, too, in that time is short for everyone. Look, life is short. Life is quick. Whether you live 18 years or you live 80 years, it's fast. And then we go on from here into the next. So don't worry about this life. Don't be anxious about this life. If you've got a concern, put it before the Lord. And because you know why, too? The world uses worry and anxiety and people's perplexities to control them. People are controlled out of their fears. The world has mastered that. You know, the world of advertising, gosh, they play on that all the time. They create, you know, there's different things that are used to sell in the world of advertising. Sex seems to be the number one, but a close second is death and fear. I mean, it's a second, it's a solid second. But yeah, people's fear. Get somebody afraid and you'll motivate them to do something. So get them afraid of being alone. Get them afraid of not having enough. Get them afraid of being able to retire. Retirement, what? People thinking about and agonizing over retirement and all of that. Oh, there. What was that? Oh, what was that one catch line? Most people don't plan to fail. They just fail to plan. So, yeah, I remember that. That was from one of those hedge... What was it? It was some retirement ad in the States which talked about if you start saving $200 a month at age whatever, at age 20, you'll have this. If you start at age 30, you'll have this. If you start at age 40, you'll have this. And then they put it down to, like, the number zero if you started saving much, much later. And they said, most people don't plan to fail. They fail to plan. And so the whole thing about... And, okay. sure, compound interest and all of that, making some good decisions financially, sure, all that's there. But what's used to motivate people is fear. Get people afraid. Afraid of the boogeyman in Russia. Afraid of the evil Chinese. Afraid of our bad presidents. Afraid of, you know, look, you don't have to be afraid of anything or anyone. In Christ, the righteous are as bold as lions. For us, we face up against and go up against whatever odds it is that are there. Because why? Because all authority on heaven and on earth has been given unto Christ Jesus. We serve the King of Kings. So what would we ever be afraid of? What could actually ever hold us? So, no, just to see the way that people, you know, are controlled by that. Because they are, when you're afraid, then you now lash out of ignorance. When people are afraid, then now their fears are used then to get them to do different things. And they typically, because they don't, what are people really afraid of? You know, if you stop and you think about it, what is it that's keeping you or your friend awake at night? What are you perplexed about? You know, I sometimes do like writing things out, writing them down, because usually when I actually put it down on, you know, you can tear it up, throw it away, burn it, save it, read it a few years later and see how ridiculous it was. I've done that before, where I've actually seen some of the things that I thought were a big deal to me, and I've read it maybe a few years later. I'm like, oh my gosh, was that what was on my mind back then? Was that what I was worried about back then? And just seeing God's faithfulness and the way that He's carried me through and taking me through stuff that I thought was a big deal back then. But yeah, you know, when you write it out, you get it out of your head. Don't leave stuff in your head. Don't leave it up there where it just chews you up and you have no resolution. As soon as you start putting stuff down, you actually see, you know, you actually see, well, here's what you're thinking. You had a friend, a very good friend, a few months back that wrote in. And she was just worried about a lot. And wonderful, wonderful woman. And I told her, I just said, look, just go into a room and write this out. Write out what is on your mind, all of it. Pull it out, put it in bullet point. What is the different things that are perplexing you right now? And pray over them. Pray over each one of them. Put them all before God. And then ask Him, what is it that He would have you to do about each of those things going on? And it you know, made a difference. When you do that, you get it out of your head and out of your mind and out of a place where you're trying to control, you're trying to make something happen, and you put it now at the feet of Christ where He now can take that and show you now what to do. You know, I don't want to take an action and try to make a decision without the Spirit of God leading me to that. Why? Because, you know, there is something amazing that I've seen more and more as time's gone on about the timing of God and being in the right place with Him. And, you know, when you make a step apart from Him, you're no longer, you're now in somewhere that you, even if it seems in your own mind like a good thing, you're now not in the spot where He may have for you to be. And, you know, a half a second, one way or the other, makes a massive difference in, you know, would you bump into that person on the street had you been 2 seconds earlier or 2 seconds later? Would you miss that phone call? Would you, I mean, it's the subtleties of life are phenomenal. And when somebody is in Christ Jesus, I mentioned it before, that sweet spot in connection and in oneness with the Spirit of God, in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing, that is a beautiful pursuit. That is a beautiful thing that a disciple of Christ can have and can know, can experience in this life. So no, it's all good. Oh gosh, it's all good in Christ. You know, we got zero to worry about. We have zero to be concerned about. If there is something on your mind, great. Fantastic. Praise God and thank Him for it. Consider it pure joy when you face trials and tribulations of all kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith builds perseverance, perseverance character, character hope, and hope does not disappoint. Yeah, I mean, we go through, and as we go through, if you go through God's way and you thank Him and you praise Him, good things come when you come to the other side of that. When you praise God in the midst of your difficulty and your difficult situations, you confuse the enemy. Because that's exactly the overt opposite reaction that he wants from you. When the enemy throws trials at you, when the enemy comes at you with whatever it is that he's trying to inflict on you, his expectation is that you're going to respond with, woe is me. You're going to get pulled out of spirit and caught up into an external carnal reality where you're trying to fix all of these things. That's what he's expecting. So when you respond by going deeper in with spirit, when you respond by praising God amidst your external circumstances and not being stressed about those things, but trusting God and knowing that there's something greater going on, and you, you know, when you do that, you just foil the enemy's plans right then and there. You just threw it out. Well, you just threw it out the window. That is victory. That is overcoming. So, and in that, you know, in that moment when you praise, you invite, because God inhabits the praises of His people, you invite the presence of God into whatever it is that's going on. You know how often that release comes in the middle of those situations, the moment that you begin to praise God? So, Acts 16, classic case, good one to read if you're in the middle of something right now. Read it and see their response in a situation that is probably more severe in the natural than what it is that most people go through. And yet, the core of the solution is right there for anybody that wants to see it. So, yes, all good in Christ Jesus. So, hey, love you guys. Really good to be able to catch up again. And, hey, keep in touch. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. And, yes, take advantage of the different share features. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. A lot of you have been. And it's kind of nice to always to get a note from somebody somewhere that we've never heard from too. Boy, I tell you, sometimes you guys surprise us when we hear that you've been listening from some spot for a long time. Hey, it's just cool. It's cool for us because, you know, realize and know that you are not alone. Oh gosh, you're not alone. You know, and in fact, God has dispersed us all over the place on purpose. But realize that you're not alone. Be encouraged. don't go through that Elijah thing where it's sort of like, God, I'm the only one left. And they, no. God's reserved those that are His, that have not bowed. And they're strong in Him. So, yes, we carry on in Christ Jesus. So, hey, love you guys. God bless you. We'll catch up with you again sometime really soon. All right. Talk to you later. Bye.